Hey everybody, so I promised to try to do a short devotion tonight because we've been snowed out of service. It isn't a ton of snow, but it is very cold and it's blowing that snow around, and I'd rather y'all just be safe at home and be praying about Sunday, because if you've looked at the forecast is not so great right now for Sunday, so make that a matter of prayer. Anyway, since we've been going through Daniel on Sunday mornings, there was a passage a little while back that grabbed my attention, even though we didn't spend a ton of time on this verse. In Daniel 7, there's a description of Daniel's vision, right? He's having the vision of those four strange animals rising up one after another from the water, and that sort of beastly parade gets interrupted in verse 9, as the eternal God sets his throne down to judge the kingdoms that they represent. And here's what Daniel 7, verse 9 says. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. So, in the description of his vision of God, Daniel says his garments, his clothes, were white like snow. And that doesn't seem to belong with the other stuff in the scene, right? I mean, he's sitting on this, best we would describe as a chariot-like throne, because the description is it's a fiery flame with wheels that were like a burning fire. You usually don't picture that coexisting with snow. But this symbol of snow isn't chosen for its temperature. It's picked for its color, obviously. It's pure white, Daniel says. But really, pure is the word we need to use, because that's what it's symbolizing, this complete holiness, this absolute purity of God. And so it struck me that that description of white snow and the absolute purity that it pictures, it's actually used of God the Father in Daniel 7, but it's also applied to God the Son in the Gospels. So at one point in the Gospels, Jesus leads three of his closest disciples up a mountain and momentarily, at least, allowed them to witness what he looked like in his glory. His face began giving off light. His clothes were suddenly perfectly white. And each of the gospel writers struggled to find exactly the perfect way to describe what was seen. Matthew says his clothes were white as the light, and Luke says his clothes were white and glistening, just dazzling white. But Mark uses these words. Mark 9, verse 3 says of Jesus, his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. Now, I always like to joke that Mark's describing Jesus' clothing is like the perfect after picture in a detergent commercial, right? So as no fuller, no launderer on earth can make them white, he says. They were just like Daniel described in his vision, exceeding white as snow. Again, just absolute purity is the idea. This is not the last time Jesus appeared that way. One of those disciples that was present, a teenager at that point named John, would be banished to the Isle of Patmos as John the Old Man many, many decades later. And while worshiping as best as he could, John says he heard a voice behind him, a voice I'm certain he recognized. And he turns around and he sees Jesus. And in Revelation 1:14, he says his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Now, that description of Jesus seems very similar to Daniel's vision, right? And rightly so. Jesus is God, after all. He's perfectly divine. So if we, pull back the divine curtain and have a vision of God the Father and one of God the Son, they're going to seem very similar, right? The same fiery judgment, and also the same snow-white holiness and purity. So when God uses that description of white as snow, repeatedly as he does in Scripture. He's doing it with a purpose. And then when that same description is used in other contexts, it should tell us something about the plan and purpose of God. Let me give you a couple of examples of what I mean. King David, as he fell into a life of sin, and he did. I mean, he was a liar, a murderer, an adulterer during his sin with Bathsheba. He'd fallen into this horrific, sinful lifestyle, and yet when he recognized the darkness and wickedness of his life, he repented of that sin and appealed for mercy from God. And Psalm 51 is written as a song of confession and repentance. And in that psalm, Psalm 51:7, David famously, cries out, "Wash me and I will be whiter than snow." Right? Because only the God of complete holiness and purity can cleanse the guilty stains of sin. And yet, instead of sitting back, hands off, reluctant to deal with human depravity, Jesus, as God the Son, entered into the world to save sinners. And in the gospel, he offers this divine exchange where he bears our sin and leaves us with his righteousness. And so Isaiah 1:18 says it like this: "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." What an offer. What a contrast. Right? Our sins are like scarlet or red or crimson, right? Isaiah uses all those words describing the very color of blood, but through his work on the cross, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And so the description of what is left is, though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Yeah, I'm certain most of us wouldn't have chosen another snow day today. And it's really tempting to forget that every bit of the weather we experience comes from God. I mean, you know, it's not Mother Nature, right? It's the work of our all-powerful Father. And he told Job, right? He alone manages the storehouses of snow and hail. So when we have a day like this, maybe there's a message of God in that snowstorm that we're forgetting, right? If you can, tomorrow morning, right, just go and stand in your door or look out your window. Do it early before all the snow gets turned into slush and muck by the passing traffic. And I hope you can look out over just a bleach white blanket of snow and consider that God used that very thing you're seeing in order to communicate some divine truth. He uses it to tell us of his own holiness and purity. He uses it to make the offer of the gospel, which brings just a complete change to our life, because our sins are dark, scarlet, crimson stains, and yet he can make us white as that snow, right? He uses it to point to the work of his son, Jesus, this death, burial, and resurrection for sinners, a work that says through him, though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be made white as snow. Thanks. Stay warm, stay safe, Lord willing. I'll see you soon.